Min campus alihor, miai Karsten Schwine. Ilqaqom għal-programm ieħor fis-sensiela minn kampus għalieħor miegħi Karsten Schwiere. Matul din is-sensiela qed niltaqa' ma' numru ta' mixtieqin illi huma bbażati ħafna drabi f'campuses internazzjonali barra minn Malta. Hemm xi kelliema li huma Maltin u f'dawk l-okkażjonijiet nieħu gost nagħmel intervisti bil-Malti, drabi oħra jkunu barranin u għalhekk nagħmlu l-intervisti bl-Ingliż. Matul din is-sensiela qed niftuq ukoll għal xi nies li forsi mhumiex strettament relatati ma' campus u jaħdmu ħajja professjonali tagħhom għadhom forsi anke f'ċentri ta' riċerka jew postijiet oħra li b'xi mod però għandhom xi konnessjoni ta' riċerka jew ta' akkademja. Il-programm tal-lum li huwa il-ħames wieħed hemm ħa niltaqa' ma' Matti Alam. Matti huwa qasir għal Marie Therese, sirtna fil-Matti kif ma jgħidu l-asħaba u jien ħafli l-nifsi magħhom. Bosta stin ilu meta tnejja aħna konna nistudjaw għal-Masters ġewwa l-Università ta' Warwick u hemmhekk konna nistudjaw il-politika kulturali u l-management kulturali. Matti kompliet il-linja tagħha wara dan is-snin kollha bejn il-Germania li huwa il-pajjiż natali tagħha fejn twilet u trabbiet, però anke ir-Renju Unit u llum il-ġurnata l-Irlanda. Kif qed issimgħu minn għandha numru ta' affarijiet u llum il-ġurnata fil-fatt għadha ta' affarijiet hija dik it-tip ta' konnessjoni mad-dinja kulturali u tal-industri kreattivi li hija bbażata ħafna fuq il-proġetti, bbażata ħafna fuq xogħol illi forsi jkun sentej, tlieta. U anki jekk illum il-ġurnata waqfet u tmexxi l-organizzazzjoni tagħha li jisimha Culture Works bbażata ġewwa l-Irlanda, hemm xorta hemm ħafna proġetti li jżommuha għaddejjin. Mhux dejjem faċli kif qed qegħdin ngħid, u anki kriżijiet bħalma ġabu magħhom il-ħruġ tar-Renju Unit mill-Unjoni Ewropea u l-pandemija tal-COVID-19. Kubrika l-affarijiet u għadha jgħidilna ftit ukoll l-esperjenzi tagħha. Bil li kont fit iktar fuqha bħalissa hemm kważi għal qed sena li waqfet u tmexxi ma' numru ta' sħab tagħha kumpanija jisma' Culture Works li jagħmlu xogħol kulturali marbut ma' territorju mhux biss ta' Galway, għaliex hi qabel kienet taħdem fil-Kapitali Ewropej tal-Kultura 2020 Galway l-Irlanda, kif tafu, kif tista' tosru. Jekk mhux tafu, intlaqet mod qawwi ħafna mill-pandemija, però l-lum ġurnata saret ftit komuni popolari tintuża l-kelma legat, hemm legat u hemm legat ħanejduha. Fil-każ ta' l-istorja ta' Galway vera, kien hemm xi ħaġa li ħarġet bis-sens. U fil-fatt nisbħala għadu l-esperjenzi tagħhom, l-expertise tagħhom, professjonisti fis-settur biex jaħdmu fuq proġetti nazzjonali, lokali, Ewropej, funding minn sorsi differenti. Il-bażi tagħha jitmur lura fi żmien fattilkom anke għal xogħol li għamlet għal Film London ġewwa Londra b'rebta wkoll mal-British Film Institute, qabel għamlet anke xogħol ma' entitajiet privati fil-film fil-fondi Ewropej. U fuq smara illi jmissu ma' l-iżvilupp tal-proġetti. Minnha ta' studji kif għattilkom studjat l-Università Warwick dik ta' Via Drina fejn studjat soċjoloġija tal-kultura u fl-istessin kienet kif qed għidilna wkoll għamlet esperjenza ta' Erasmus illi ħafna minn nies minn dawn il-mess tissemmija jistgħu forsi anki jirrelataw magħha dawn l-esperjenzi formattivi ħafna meta wieħed jagħmel żmien jistudja barra. Qabel ma nisimgħu l-intervista ma' Matti Alam, nixtieq nirġa' nirringrazzja proġett Medinea tal-mużika illi nisimgħu dejjem fil-bidu fl-elu u fl-isfond ta' dan il-programm, programm illi wkoll huwa tal-Unjoni Ewropea Erasmus Plus illi ġie koordinat mill-sħab Maltin ARC Consultancy ta' Tabinja Gaja flimkien ma' membri oħrajn tal-Unjoni Ewropea u tal-Mediterran. Ela, jiena nieqa' ferma issa biex ngħaddu l-intervista ma' Mati Qalam fil-programm tal-lum minn Campus Għalihom. Welcome back to the listeners of this series in Campus Elihor, in a way almost campus hopping, but as listeners to this series are now getting used to it, it's not only about, strictly speaking, campuses and university buildings, but in a way takes us back and takes us forward to the idea of having sort of centers of research, cultural practice, cultural exchange, educational development. And I think today's guest, who's already with me, connected from Germany, as listeners have already heard from my introduction in Maltese, Mati Qalam. Mati, I welcome you. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you, Carsten. Great to be here.
Thank you. As I was saying, I guess you would be one of those people on this show who is not strictly related to one particular academic field or practicing in a university campus. So bending and stretching a little bit the definition of a campus. But in our case, also what's happened sometimes with other guests on the program, who I would have got to know from other educational fields, other work experiences in Malta or abroad. In our case, we got to know each other quite a few years ago now during the master's course we both attended at the University of Warwick.
That's right, yeah.
In the UK. In the case of Malta, in my case, it was really just having joined the European Union, which again in our conversation today might be interesting context to relate to. Being there, I met you, so many other colleagues, so many other people, some of whom are also on this show, in this series or in future ones. And somehow that was an interesting formative experience. But apart from that, as our listeners know, sort of we'll try to look at career paths developing over time. So we sometimes tend to follow a chronology of a person's development. There was that in your case. There were obviously previous studies as well, also in your case as an Erasmus student, in a way experiencing and benefiting from European collaboration, European networks, something which in Malta is now more prevalent, I'd say, than maybe a few years ago, also because of European Union membership. But then you moved on to the world of work, of projects, of practice. I was looking again at your LinkedIn profile just before we started. Always very much related to culture, the arts, creativity, innovation. But shifting in different areas. Also in terms of countries. So England, but also Ireland. And also in maybe quite local or national organizations, but then also more wider looking experiences like the European Capital of Culture experience. And then also going from maybe management, practice, coordination to also research, which, as we also engage in conversations from time to time, is something which also brings us together. So if we had to maybe take it step by step, especially in this first part, would you say there were particular milestones early on, even in your education, in your travels, in your family, through friends, which set you off in this direction? Or did it happen rather haphazardly? Or looking back with the benefit of hindsight, sort of, would you see a pattern emerging?
Yeah, I think loads to unpack here. I think that sounds like I've been jumping around quite a lot, but looking back, I think it had a system without knowing. I suppose, you know, you sort of find yourself thinking after you finish school what you'd like to do. I had the opportunity to spend a year abroad, not knowing what to do. I learned French in Bordeaux. I did a French class there and was sort of working, handing out flyers as you try to make a little bit of a living just to make that work. And then I noticed quite quickly that I always wanted to work, you know, in languages or with languages, not necessarily translating, but really that exchange of people. I really enjoyed those conversations. I really enjoyed, you know, I suppose being German comes with that as well. If you go abroad, there's always like that stigma attached to you, and you try to overcome that stigma of, you know, of Germany. And in my case, I have, I'm half German, although I am German. I have a dual heritage. My mother is from Germany and my dad is from Syria. So I think I've always grew up with a different culture and a different context. And I suppose that's where I always wanted to work internationally and didn't know how or why. Why I knew, but not how. Yes. And that just developed through my studies. I started studying in Germany. I did a bachelor degree at the European University in Frankfurt Oder, which is in the east, just bordering to Poland. And we had a dual campus in Germany and in Poland. So that really was just part of it. And I suppose in English, you would call it culture science or culture studies. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We had four subject areas. So cultural sociology, literature, and also languages. So it was quite broad. A master of a lot, but not a master of one, I suppose.
But with a person like yourself who's sort of interested in the human side and the social sciences, later on the creative elements, and languages, in a way, brings together a lot of that.
It's a good
thing to do. It was a good place to go to.
Yeah, it was a good starting point, but then you sort of felt a bit lost. And then the master's degree in that we did together in England, I thought it looked very focused for me because it was about European cultural management and policy. So it was really, it sounded practice-based, but it was also very academic. Maybe more academic than I thought, but that also helped later on sort of, you know, in critical thinking, I suppose that is never a bad thing to have when you are in a workspace.
Yes. You remind me of a comment, our common professor, Oliver Bennett, used to say, who founded and headed the Institute, would say sort of make the most of this opportunity in terms of developing critical skills.
Yes.
Once, God willing, you go into the field of work or go back to it, because there were people who already worked before joining the course, you might not have much time. So if you develop skills now, you might sort of apply them later on in the workforce. You said that now so many years later.
Yeah, it's a sort of later foundation, but so really, I don't know, I always believed in, maybe naively believed in, culture can overcome, you know, prejudice, and culture can create bridges. So that's where I really wanted to work in, and I've chosen those subject areas at university, I suppose deliberately to be broad, because I didn't know whether I wanted to go into one creative field or another. And I always felt that way I kept doors open. And probably that's why you refer to my LinkedIn profile, having worked in film, having worked in, you know, captors of culture, European captors of culture, having worked in the UK cultural contact point for the culture program, which was the predecessor now and two generations ago from the new culture program, the Creative Europe program, as a project manager to help organizations in the UK to apply for culture-based EU funding. So there's always like that cooperation element to it. I did a lot of project management and still do. It's a sort of my bread and butter, I suppose, you know. But that international relations, or, you know, now maybe we come to it later, I'm also working with a group of colleagues who produce work, which is really exciting to get to at this point in my life, really, because it's, yeah. But it, I never really thought at the end of the tunnel, or at the end of the when I'm 40, I want to be. That never really happened. It's just one thing developed into the next, I suppose.
And during these programs, so if I think, okay, maybe because of me being the common factor, colleagues who work maybe in related fields, there seem to be sort of similar stories that emerge. But many times I don't get the time, I guess, to ask this particular question. Maybe we can just fit in a quick observation from your end.
Sure.
While you were sort of growing and learning and practicing and trying out different things and seeing maybe that some worked in some contexts, others didn't in certain contexts, so you also moved on and adapted. Did you observe anything particular about the people around you? So fellow students, colleagues, talking about stuff, the culture and creative industries, which need a particular set of skills, but also a variety of sets of skills. You can't sometimes be too particular in one area because you need to adapt. Did you find that somehow maybe people who tended to get into this area, which is maybe many times not defined early on in a student's life, or grow into that, or do grow into project work, maybe with the sciences on too generalistic here, but just by way of example, would you say so people around you tended to maybe have this wide-angled, curious approach, which you also have?
I would agree, and I would agree, like a high degree of flexibility and a high degree curiosity is probably the right term, but also just a can-do attitude is very important. And I remember actually that was at Warwick when we did the course, they offered, you know, previous students similar to what you're doing here, they offered an opportunity just to, you know, how they got to where they got to. And I remember this, I really don't know her name and who she was, but she was in the creative sector. And she said, actually, it doesn't matter. Get the foot in the door. You need to work. You need to do something. You need to, the world of the professional world is full of networks. So you need to get in somehow. And that, I thought that was a great tip. And the first job I did wasn't necessarily something in the creative sector at all. It was, funding, it was related, it was education, but I was literally, it was grant management of the lifelong learning program. And that, again, set a basis for project management quite, because it's very rigorous. You know, you have the promotion of the call, you need to assess applications, you then manage the grant, you make payments. It's very dry, but really helped me a lot also later on to understand the grant giving system. And that really got me in the door to do the next gig. And that is another point. It's unfortunately, it's a gig economy often. You very rarely get a contract that is for very long.
Yeah.
And I would agree with you that people around me at university, from the people I know, probably are very similar, or at least the people I'm working with have a similar sort of, you know,
yeah. So, quick
way of working.
Supplementary question to that before we go to the first music break, which I'll also ask you to help introduce. Not all people then are the same, and you don't want all people to be the same in the workplace. You want people who are maybe more creative in certain fields, others who are maybe more into the administrative side. Would you say in your work experience, is there some elusive balance one can sort of try to suss out and look out for, if everyone sort of is right-handed or left-handed, to just use a silly image? There can be dangers. So have you maybe had, I don't know, a particular experience where you said, yes, this was a really good environment to work with, where there was a good mix?
of abilities and levels of even of experience.
Yeah, I suppose I think what's important in teams is that there's diversity in there, diversity in skills, but also diversity of viewpoints, and that also means how people have grown up or where they're from, in terms of diversity and equality. But the teams that I've worked in, I think all places had sort of a good mix of people, but where I've seen it work very well is when you're in a big organization, it's always good to work across teams because it takes you out of your, you know, I mean, at Film London, for instance, I worked in strategy and resources, which is, you know, the finance team. I am actually still working with them on a EU-funded project funded by Interreg Europe. And I work with different teams across the organization, so it takes me out. And I always find, you find out things about the organization you didn't know, but also you get to work on a project together, whether it's a conference or try to achieve a policy aim, which Interreg Europe is all about, policy changes regionally. Then it's actually quite exciting because you work with a practitioner who knows much better than you how things work in the field. And you as a project manager sort of make sure that the finances are okay, but you also understand, you have the understanding of how the creative sector works, you know. So I'm not sure if that's much straightforward, but what I'm trying to say is, the more diverse the teams, yes, the better. And yes, whether it's your left hand, right hand, so maybe that's to do with the thinking, that's also good. I also think it's very important that you have the diversity, mm-hmm, in the teams to really converse that and, you know, different viewpoints. It's so important. Mm-hmm. And shaking up the system maybe as, yes, well.
Trying to avoid repeating oneself and getting stuck in a rut. Just, yeah, comfortable, but limiting. So, Matti, for ourselves also, to catch our breath, mm-hmm, get a different sound input into this program. As we usually do in this program, we sort of pause a couple of times, and every time I ask my guests to tell us why they've chosen a particular piece of music. Can you tell us something about this first piece you've chosen for us?
Sure. So the first piece is from a project called Light Ballet, which a company I've co-founded here in Ireland called Culture Works. We have produced this project with light artist Mick Murray and Matthew Craigham. And it's the first project as a company that we've produced. And it took place in a time in Ireland when we opened up society after the pandemic, or we're still in the pandemic, but things were slowly,
yes,
opening up. And this particular project, Matt and Mick, they have created a light installation for a boat. And over a week, they were traveling each night on the largest river in Ireland called the Shannon, from the north, well, not north of Ireland, but from the north of the country to the south, or further south. And the people could encounter the installation at the river when the sun was going down. So you could see the lights very well. And there was a soundtrack, soundscape, okay, attached to it that people could listen to on their phones. And okay, it was in sync. And Matt and Mick went through a great effort, so it synced with the lights from a website, and this is the track. And it's been newly commissioned by the project and musician David Kidd, an great Irish musician who's produced this track with, and it also features words from a poet, Nidhi Zach Arya Ipe, and from her poem Wonder Song, which features in there. I'm not sure how much time we have to look at the whole track, but it's maybe you can put a link.
Yeah,
link
yeah,
to
exactly,
it.
Exactly.
It's a beautiful sort of piece that, for me, you know, kind of suggests the opening of society a little bit as well. And the whole project, sorry, I'm going on a little bit, but it's an exciting project.
It's fine. You're actually introducing already the also what we'll talk a little bit about more in the second part of the program after listening to the track. So let's have a listen to it. After that beautiful atmospheric track, so is my guest today, Matti Alam, speaking to me from Germany, quite, I would say, a European culture operator, citizen, also working very much in Ireland. And that somehow, as you were telling us before the pause, Matti, even through creativity and imagination, can really make you travel. However, there was another detail which you were telling me you wanted to add when we came back, which takes us, in a way, to the heart of the second part, which is trying to match sort of dreams and ambitions and the curious human element that drives you and a lot of people in the sector with other elements which you've hinted at before, which are sort of the finances, the money, you mentioned the project management before. So you did want to say who was also involved in the project because of funding support. But then maybe you can also tell us not only how this worked out, but how maybe a little bit more about how your current work related to the company you founded and work with is going through these times, because you already mentioned a few things also, like closing and opening of society, remission being dimension. So I think that would be really interesting to know a bit more of.
Yeah. So the project I've just mentioned, Light Ballet, came was part of a bigger program that the Arts Council Ireland initiated and called Brightening Air. And there were projects all across the country happening at the same time. And we were one of the projects that received a great support for this program. And yeah, so with this new company that we've set up, so we've set the company up last year in 2020 in the middle of the pandemic, really. And it was born out of, you know, we are four creative producers, and I'm sort of the project manager, or one of the, you know, we're quite on par in the company. And we've all worked at Galway 2020 European Capital of Culture. And it was really born out of the desire to continue working with each other. Four of us, due to the pandemic, have unfortunately lost our job at the European Capital of Culture. But, you know, it was and still is a very difficult time for arts and culture to present work with an audience, to make work and have, you know, and get an income from it. Maybe creators have, well, I know creators have a much harder time with this, because they, you know, musicians can't perform to a usual audience, or theatre is very limited. I don't know how it is in Malta, but in Ireland it's still very restricted to a degree.
For the benefit of our listeners to look in terms of time, we're recording this towards the end of August of 2021.
Yeah,
and as you mentioned before, there's been phases, openings, closings, and in Malta also still very, very tough.
Yeah.
Sure, but still very tough.
So I think you see pictures of the summer of the European Championship of football, and you see masses of people together. Yes. It's quite frustrating. But, you know, coming back to the company, we really wanted to continue working together. And, you know, we formed as a collective and then as a company. And, our producing work, but also, you know, providing our expertise. We've recently published with the Arts Council Ireland a digital toolbox for the arts, which is sort of a guidance for arts organizations in Ireland, how to look at or to ask, to have some resources and questions around how you can present work digitally, which is a great resource. So we're trying to work across the board with different stakeholders, but just as a collective, trying to continue working together. And we found I suppose when you find somebody you like working with, that's a good thing.
yes.
And
somehow you want to hold on to them or keep developing projects with them.
Yeah, keep developing projects together. I think it's really fantastic. And just to come back, you know, I am based in Ireland. I'm German, but so we're working primarily in Ireland. But the ambition is also, you know, to link, to foster those European collaborations or continue those collaborations that we developed over the years here in Ireland. And yeah, that's where maybe my languages come in, or my connections might come in at some point.
While you were speaking, Matty, I'm speaking with Matty Alam today, from Germany, but also Ireland most of the time when you're working, and you're telling us about your company set up in the time of sort of the threat brought on by COVID, by the pandemic.
Mm.
And somehow I'm thinking, like many things, of it may have shut some doors, but possibly opened a few others, which are a bit more creaky and difficult to push open.
Mm.
But when you mentioned the sort of research and projects related to trying to engage with audiences,
mm-hmm.
to developing toolboxes, mm-hmm. with that how digitization might not be the answer to everything.
No, yeah.
To at least adapt, survive, and still get through to audiences. It sounds like there's a particular mission there, a particular set of objectives, which maybe you might not have had at the beginning, at the inception of developing the company, but it sounds like it's really important now. So I think my question is, if that is so, and then if so, how again, how important again is the element of flexibility?
Mm.
I think.
I suppose with setting up your own company, you sort of, I think you need to focus, because otherwise you go too broad. Yeah. And I think we are very focused on producing work. We are focused on, you know, offering our research expertise and our general expertise to the benefit of the sector in Ireland and forging those connections internationally. I think it's interesting. I never thought about it. I'm thinking out loud now. I think if you set up your company, you have to, it's good to be focused and knowing sort of where you're heading, which direction. And I suppose, I mean, I admire a lot of people who set up companies very early in their career, because you know, it's definitely need to be very focused. But also what really helps us is bringing those connections we have from over 10 or 20 years of working in the sector, which is of definite benefit of doing that. So, you know, yeah, I seen just when last year during 2020, when I lost my job at GoA 2020, I was going through, and that happens, you know, you lose your job at some point, mm-hmm. in your career. That can happen during a pandemic, particularly because we are definitely a sector that is vulnerable because of,
yes.
being classed as non-essential. I don't know what the terminology is in Malta, but, you know, it happened before where I didn't have a job and I had to really find, you know, what I was looking, what I had to do, or had to sort of bridge the next job with something else, job-wise. But going back to last year when, you know, something dramatic happened, I was really trying to look for opportunities of setting up my own as a freelancer for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And there, I suppose it's easy to get support when you're selling something like a product, or when you're selling, you know, because you're producing something that creates growth. And yeah, I suppose I'm going down a rabbit hole, but what I'm meaning to say is that
I'm thinking of Alice in Wonderland here, so go on. Really, really interesting.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe you can comment on it, but you are there with people that are selling like a product or something, and you're trying to sell your knowledge and expertise,
mm.
which is maybe a bit different if it's not like,
yes.
Ernst & Young, or, well, maybe we should cut the names out, but consultancies that sell,
yes,
their knowledge.
Yes. Big Five and
Big Five.
Which is somehow... There's a market for, and unrecognizably so.
Where, yeah.
What I'm thinking is in your reply now, and even earlier, where you actually stop to think, you know, about what, and this is an interesting thing I really enjoy during these programs.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I think it sometimes gives also the opportunity to the person, who's sharing their experience with me and the listeners to actually take the time to process a little bit. And the sector you're talking about, you mentioned the word vulnerable. It's full of potential, but
mm-hmm.
you can't really sort of say, "Oh, that worked before, so we're just going to repeat that and repeat that and repeat that. Just make it louder or make it faster, because it's not that, is it?
Yeah, and I mean, don't know, with the sporting events over the summer, you actually see there's a real need for people to come together. I'm delighted to see people in the stadium and yes. having a good time. And you can see they're really, you know, it's great. So I think festivals are, you know, where people can do just that as well, but they're not allowed to because, you know, I don't know. Because I'm not quite sure what the difference is between a football yes. match and like putting an audience in a safe distance, maybe to. Well, you need the closeness of a performance, I suppose. Which
I
suppose that's the frustration to see.
You're right. We're sort of 2/3 into this program, and we've still got a bit to talk about, which even in preparing for this program we've spoken about, and maybe we can talk a little bit about sort of even other related contexts, and I think I can't omit a reference to Brexit and to see how that may get
okay.
a spanner or maybe a big spanner in the wheels.
Yeah.
Before we do that and then come to the end of the program, I'd like you to introduce the second piece of music.
Yeah,
I'd like us to share with you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe tell us a little bit about it again.
So I'm obviously flying the flag for Ireland here. The next track is an Irish artist from Galway called Anna Mulaki, and she has composed new music for Galway 2020 when European Capital of Culture presented the program for the year in September 2019. And the program was structured according to the Irish peasant calendar, so Imbolc, Baltna, Lunasa, and Samhain. And Anna composed new music responding to those seasons. And also responding to a piece of work by Gratiel, a French company, a French aerial company, that was performing on Air Square, which is the main square here in Galway. And Anna was in her piano, beautifully dressed, playing four songs, while above her head was an aerial dance show happening. It was absolutely stunning, and the music, I really love the music. And the track I've chosen is called Larger Than Life, because it has some electronic beats which I like, and there's a saying in there which refers to, I think, to an old Irish saying. I don't know if it's true, but I'm just claiming it now. It's like it's called there's strength in unity. So we are stronger when we come together, she says
yes.
In her song. And I think that's very true.
Okay, it's true. Let's listen to this thing. Well, that is really good. Again, Matti, thank you very much. Matti Alam, my guest on the show again. We've got the last 10 minutes. And one thing you said to introduce the track we listened to was the idea of the unity, people coming together over the piece of music you joked about, saying you have nothing against football. Actually, you like football. You actually go to stadia and feel that emotion and that energy that comes from people being together.
Mm.
Obviously, we and I guess our listeners would also like to see more also within the recovery period of the arts and culture. One thing which I hinted at before, which is sort of there and I can't fail to mention, is that in spite of best efforts, policy, projects, and you mentioned so much related to the most of the European reality, like Brexit happened, which really complicate matters and traditions and years. And what you also mentioned before, in your case and your colleague's case and the company you set up, 20 years of links, of a reputation being built, of trust being developed, something political like that, which is also very obviously economic as well, really, really changes the situation. And we don't know yet how all this will pan out, even in the cultural sector and in the arts. Since we're in the last part of the program, and maybe we can sort of reflect a little bit, even on challenges you see, further challenges come up in the world you work in. How do you look at something like Brexit and how it sort of in a way interrupts or interferes a lot of relations that were going on?
I look at it as in sadness, because I've lived in the UK for 14 years. I've studied there. I've started my career there, furthered my career there. A lot of people in the UK have supported my career. And quick shout out to Film London, Daniela Kirchner, who's really, you know, promoted me from officer to manager. To Dr. Beatriz Garcia at the University of Liverpool, who's always supported me in my work, and, you know, pulling me in some research projects she's managing, and she's a great thinker. So, it's a shame. I look at it in sadness, the Brexit, because I've also then, after the Brexit vote in 2016, made the conscious decision of not continuing to live in the UK anymore. I've moved then in 2018, 2 years later, to Ireland. So in that respect, so that's the personal one, which I'm very sad about. On the other hand, I see it as an opportunity for, you know, on one hand, take those connections with the UK and, you know, continue with it in a different context, maybe. Or, I mean, I'm very much in favor of continuing to lobby with UK government that they actually, because you can be outside of the EU and continue in programs, for instance. You just need to, the UK government needs to pay for it, which hopefully, particularly in the Creative Europe and the media program, I hope they might do. And the culture program as well would be good. I see it as well as an opportunity, particularly for Ireland, as being, I mean, we're the neighbor of, you know, of the UK, and I suppose we have a lot of connections with the UK, if, whether we want it or not. But it's just the natural connection, just as well as you have a lot of connections between Germany and France, or you know, the neighboring countries of other nations. So I hope maybe it's a bridge we can take. But also, I'm always saying Ireland and Malta are the only English-speaking countries left in the EU. So I see that as an opportunity as new partnerships come up.
Yes, you're talking, sort of, I'm relating. Or to the local context, and probably the Maltese or Malta-based listeners will do that, somehow feeling a bit at a loss to have the important, even critical at times, importantly critical role of the UK in European matters be diminished or be sidelined the way the way it now has.
Although I also, if I can say, I don't know if I'm being too critical, but you know, the UK art system is an arm's length art system. A lot of European countries don't have that. They have a decentralized system, like in Germany, where a lot of the funding goes from the lender, or a centralized system, like in France, where it goes to the Ministry of Culture. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I can't remember how it is in Malta, but you also have an arts council, which is probably arts arm's length. So, you know, I think it's an opportunity for the culture sector to also look at culture cooperation, maybe, you know, more integrated. I don't know. That's just a thought.
It's really interesting because in the case of Malta, for example, yes, there's a bit of the British heritage, the principle of the arms length. But we do operate very much, I would say, in a southern Mediterranean way where we're so small, there's a lot of direct contact between different authorities, agencies, funded bodies. So it's interesting to see, maybe from your perspective, the opportunity to rethink and refine ways of modeling, even funding.
Yeah. And I would hope that the EU, going back to Brexit, would actually invest more in cultural cooperation, which they have increased the budget for the Creative Europe program slightly. But I think also just simple bilateral or trilateral cooperation, that is, I mean, for everybody who's submitted a Creative Europe application, they're very, very complex. I've not looked at the new program. I've been told it's been simplified, but yet it's still very, very labor intensive. National applications are very labor intensive, but European ones are, so I wish there would be more, easier ways of doing that.
So that's one thing definitely which I'm personally taking away from this conversation. I'm involved in a couple of proposals at the moment, and yes, I would agree that sort of there's an effort at simplification, but there's still a lot of work and coordination one needs to do, and also the new priorities of the new European deal looking at climate change, sustainability, sort of in a way add another interesting dimension, but also more pressure to try to be not simply art and culture anymore. Maybe that's a really authentic idea, but to be more relevant and impactful in society. We've got the last couple of minutes. I wonder whether you could add maybe anything, even from your own personal and professional perspective, of what you see maybe sort of coming up on the horizon, possibly having gone through closures in society, having started seeing maybe first steps in new directions. This was very interesting about new models of collaboration and maybe simplifying also access to funding. Would you say, sort of, even our listeners, should they be looking out for anything else?
I suppose you mentioned sustainability there, the new Green Deal, and I think that's, I know it adds another layer, but it's actually a layer that's needed because, you know, every industry or every sector has to play their part in society to reduce their carbon footprint, to reduce their environmental impact, and arts and culture have to do so too. I'm not sure if it's the right way of doing it as an add-on rather than, you know, asking people to change their practice. You know, I'm not sure, but I'm definitely, and maybe it's my work through Film London where we are, you know, looking at solutions for the film industry and supporting that. And there's been a lot in the film industry already happening, and maybe some learnings. But I think arts and culture still have to go a bit of a way. And I would, if you're starting out in that sector, it's definitely something you should branch out to as an expertise, I would say. And then, I'm not sure. I do wonder, Carsten, if, you know, big touring is still going to happen, you know, going forward. Pandemic, due to the pandemic, but also due to environment. I'm not sure. That's a question rather than an answer.
I guess we'll need to keep our eyes open and sort of ears to the ground, as they say, and see how that develops.
For sure. And the other thing I would hope is that we sort of try to collaborate with countries in Europe that you wouldn't usually collaborate with, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That would be... Yep. Look outside of the box of your natural partners. Yeah.
Matti, I thank you very much for sharing your thoughts, your experience, your insight into the sector. And I'm sure our listeners will have enjoyed that and taken some takeaway points from that as well. So thank you very much, Matti.
Thank you, Carsten. Good luck, everyone.
Li il-program tal-lum reġa' ħoġobkom u għalhekk jiġri ħarkom biex tingħaqdu miegħek għall-program ieħor il-ġumgħa minn kamsel ieħor. Il-mistiedna tal-lum kienet Matti Qalam, professjonista fil-manager kulturali mill-Ġermanja, però b'esperjenza kbira fir-Renju Unit u fl-Irlanda, u mill-programm għall-ieħor nibqgħu niftħu ftit dawn it-tip ta' konnessjonijiet mid-dinja internazzjonali f'campuses u anki ftit li minnu. Saħiħ.